What price our best? What price our best? How much do we have to be paid to give our best? How much do we have to be paid to give our best in life? If we are asked to do a task and we don't feel like doing it, do we do the task with lack of interest? Do we do a task of no professionalism, with no skill, with no delight? Say, for instance, well, here, we'll use the illustration of cleaning a house, like Ingeborg or Sylvia. If I said to Sylvia, Sylvia, go clean the Shangri-La. And Sylvia would say, I really have no interest in cleaning the Shangri-La. And so I say, Sylvia, just clean the Shangri-La. So she goes over to the Shangri-La and does a hop, skip, and a jump job on it, okay? And then I say, Sylvia, you got it all done? Yes, it's all fine. Is it all good? Wonderful. Sylvia, your brother is coming today, and you clean that up as a surprise for him. That's where he's going to stay. What? My brother? My brother? And she would say, and she would dash over and redo it entirely. No matter how well she did it, it would not be done well enough for her brother. But for somebody else, it'd be well enough. You know what I mean? We always want to give our best for our family and our friends. Now, if I said to Ingeborg, Ingeborg, your husband's coming tomorrow, and he's going to stay in the Shangri-La, or he's going to stay in the Citadel, let's say. And so I say, go clean up the Citadel for him. You would be over there polishing it within an inch of his life. You'd be cleaning the windows. You'd be sweeping the floor and dusting the floor and waxing the floors. You'd be vacuuming the carpets. You'd be just working your tail off. And no tiredness, because you're doing it because your husband's coming for the first time since you have seen him in Europe a number of years ago. And wow, and he's coming here to see you and to see where you're living and what you're doing. Wow, would you clean that place up? Would it be spick and span? Would it be beautiful? And it wouldn't be hard. You would do it in just a couple hours. You would do it so beautifully and so quickly, you wouldn't waste any effort. You see, this is wasted effort. This is well done effort. You know what I mean? So when we do things with wasted efforts, it's because we really don't want to do it. When we do things poorly, now, if I would say, Sylvia, would you go over and clean up the Shangri-La? Okay. That's really a mess, yeah. Would you go clean up the Shangri-La and make it nice? And Sylvia says, sure. Now, Sylvia, you have been a house cleaner. You have been paid. You're a professional at that. You know what you're doing. Now, I want you to give me the same job you would give anybody who paid you top dollar to do it. And she'd say, well, I haven't time to do that good a job. I don't have time. We always have time to do it right. You follow me? We always have time to do it right. Now, it's not a matter of cleaning a house. It just happens to be a good illustration. It's a matter of doing anything we do. Now, you see, Stefan said he wanted to do the Quiet Healing Zone. He was very eager to do it, eager to do it right, as well as the other books. But when he got away from here and the discipline of working, he didn't do anything. He went to Africa, didn't do a thing. He went to Switzerland, didn't do a thing. Now, I'm not saying he should or shouldn't. But all I'm saying is, if you agree to do something, if you promise to do something, do it. And if you don't give it your very best, and that doesn't mean pick it apart 50 times. It just means go through it once or twice with a fine-tooth comb and do it right the first time. And then it's wonderful. Now, what price is our best? What price does it cost to get our best out of us, you know? What price? Ellen, what price does it cost you to get your best out of you? If I say, Ellen, your brother John is dying, and you say, she doesn't have brother John, so I can say that, John. Your brother John is dying, and you say, oh, my dearest brother, my sweetest brother, I love him so. And so you call him up and find out, sure enough, he's dying. And I say, Ellen, if you will treat right now, and you will say, my brother John is in perfect harmony. Every organ that can function in this body is perfect right now. My brother John lives eternally in this body right here and right now. He's a fabulous guy right now. And if you can say that with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, if you can give me your best. Now, you can't, because you are so idiotic. You are such an idiot. You can't give me your best. You know why? Because your heart, my brother, you know, you cannot let that alone and be objective and say, this is a person for whom I am treating and seeing him whole and perfect. That he's my brother makes me even more enthusiastic about that. But it's a person I am seeing whole and perfect. Now, would your mother deserve more of your attention than your brother? Would your dog deserve more of your attention than your brother? Would one of us deserve more attention than your brother? You follow me? You see, what price do we pay for our best? What price do we have to get for our best? And I was talking to Madeline again today on the phone when you guys were coming out of the meditation room. And she says, I am coming down with Madeline, but I've got to tell somebody. And I said, Madeline, you want it. You really want it. You really enjoy those experiences you're having because you want people to feel sorry with you about it. I said, Madeline, is any part of your body perfect? Yes. I said, then look at that and put that in mind for your whole body. Just look at that every time you think of something that's whole and perfect, and there you are. And I said, you got it. She says, but, I said, Madeline, I don't hear another word out of you. If you are not willing to do what we suggest to you, that's all we know how to do, is to suggest that you're home perfect and show you how to say it for yourself. And if you, but you don't understand these. And I said, don't say it. Don't say it to me or anybody else. And I said, if you say it, I hang up. She said, well, I'm sending you an offering. I said, you can't buy my time. You can't buy me as a practitioner. I said, you just say it. That's all. I only care about you. I don't care whether you send money or not. I don't ever check the books to see who sends stuff and who doesn't. If I check the books to see who sends stuff and who doesn't, I might be helping different people, you know. But I said, I don't do that, and I wouldn't do that. But what would it take to get Madeline to give her best for herself? What would it take? You see, we get so accustomed to loving and living in the rot that we have in our life that we are happy with it. It's like the little cloud that the boy had in his head, you know. We like that. We like that. We're familiar with it. We've lived with it. We're enjoying it. And we don't want to give it up. Now, Ellen, when I tell her about her brother dying, she immediately goes kajabbers, you know. She bombs out. She's not able to hold herself together. She's not able to take control. Her, you do it for me, you know. But sure, I'll do it. And it's done. But the thing is, you're killing him. You're killing him by thinking he's got a problem that cannot be solved. You're killing him by thinking that he's going to die. You're killing him by accepting the doctor's definition, the doctor's prescription, the doctor's
diagnosis.
See, I don't even know these doctor terms. They slip from my mind and I don't even want to pull them back. But I don't even know them. And I don't want them. But you don't want to accept the doctor's statement of what you're going to be. You accept the truth. Is life eternal?
Yes.
Is your brother eternal?
Yes.
Is your brother living forever and ever and ever?
Yes.
Beautiful. Why wasn't he born?
Because he lives forever. Yeah, good
one. I didn't ask you, funny face. But you see, this is the bit. What price is it going to cost for our best? What price is it going to cost for our best? It's going to cost a big price. Our entire attention. It's going to cost this price here, one-pointedness. It's going to cost untouchability, unpossessed, non-judgmental, and self-dedication, self-discipline, self-diligence, self-determination, leading to unconditional love. Those are great things. But that's where we're going. And if you want to play the game that you've got problems, or that you need things, or that the world is calling you, go. But if you are master of yourself, then you will do anything you want to do and not ever hear the clarion call of anything else. You will not hear your daughter saying, Mother, or your son saying, Ma, what's going on? You will only hear them saying, all is in divine order. All is in divine order. What did Heinz say to you on the phone?
I don't need these things. I'm unpossessed by it.
I'm sorry?
I do not need these things.
That's not what I wanted to hear from you. Mm-hmm. I wanted to hear from you that he said he's whole and perfect.
Oh, okay.
Did he say that?
Yes.
Oh, thank God. But you see, what is he not possessed by? No. What is he unpossessed by? He's unpossessed by something he doesn't want. And so by saying he's not possessed by it, he's manipulated by it. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he says, I'm whole and perfect, period. I'm fabulous and walk around like a prince that he is. And then you do the same things, then that's what you are. But you see, what price does it cost? What price do I have to pay to get your best? Really? What price do I have to pay? You, who are top dog in this whole operation, and you who know everything that I've ever written and been to every lecture I've ever been to and all that good stuff been to, and you come up with a statement like that?
That what? That he's all perfect.
No, the other one, but don't say it. But you see, don't do that. Don't say, I have a problem. Say, I am whole and perfect. Very good, Madeline. We see you whole and perfect, and so it is. You're a fabulous lady. We see you sparkling, walking around town, and all the world is illumined by your presence because you're so fantastic. And that's, you know, woo-wee. Would she love that, huh? But would she love that? Would she love that? Yes. Go ahead.
That's what she is.
That's what she is. Now, we keep this in mind. If we have to know that it's for our brother that we're cleaning the house to clean the house good, if we have to know this for our husband or ex-husband that we're cleaning the house for, if we have to know something like that, that's not cleaning the house. That's doing something with motivation. You should be perfect without motivation. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Be perfect without motivation. If you have to have motivation to be perfect, ooh-wee, do we have a problem? Now, if you'll be a good boy, I'll give you a nickel. Now, that's years ago. If you be a good boy, I'll give you $5, you know. If you be a good boy, I'll give you 50. I'll take you to the movie. If you be a good boy, I'll buy you a new computer. If you be a good boy, I'll, you know. Is that going to change him? He's still going to be the same rascal he always was because he hasn't changed his attitude. And you never buy children's or adults' attitudes. You never buy children or adults' love. You never buy children or adults' sense of responsibility. That's something that develops because of an inner dedication that they have to themselves to always do their best. To always do your best no matter what price you're paid. Ellen, how much were they paid? They were paid a penny to work all day. And then at 11, another group came. They were paid a penny to work all day. At noon, another group came. They were paid a penny. And at 5 o'clock, another group came and they were paid all day. And then at 6 o'clock, it was quitting time. Now, those who were paid a penny all day for the long day felt taken, and those who paid a penny for the short day were delighted. Now, whose business is it? Did the merchant go and tell his laborers what he's paying each one? Quite likely.
Mm-hmm.
Quite likely they told him, hey, I get the penny for working an hour this afternoon, you know. They, what? You know, I've been working 10 hours and I only got one penny. Well, you came too early. So he comes late the next day and the same thing's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's a lesson. It's a lesson. It's a wonderful lesson. But it's a definite lesson. How much do we have to be paid to say that we're beautiful, to say that we're whole and perfect, to say that we're lovely? How much do we have to be paid to say that we're intelligent, that we're wise, we're brilliant, we're knowledgeable? How much do we have to be paid? Now, it is true. It is true. I go up to somebody and I say, hey, you're a remarkable person. And they say, oh, really? Yes. What makes you say that? Well, I just watched the way you handle those people there, and you really are a master. You are a wizard. You are a master. Oh, really? What way do you think that I was a master? Well, you were a master how you made every single one of them feel that they were important to you. You made every one of them feel that you were giving them your very best. Every moment you spent with them, you gave them your very best. Every one of them felt that way. Well, gee, thanks. That's very nice. Then you say, okay. Now, April Fool. What? April Fool? You mean you were pulling my leg? Yeah. You mean you didn't mean those things you said? No. They may be true, I don't know, but I didn't mean them. I was just telling a joke. April Fool! Oh. He feels dejected. He feels lost. He feels meaningless in life. He feels that all of the upper that he had is a double downer. And he's not only down to where he was when he started, which was level, now he's underground, way down. You see, when we can be bought, we can also be sold. When people talk against us or against other people to us, they'll talk against us to other people. We have to be very careful that we are not party of that. There are people in my life who have been so fabulous, I've never heard a negative word come out of their mouth. I've never heard a comment which belittled themselves or anybody else come out of their mouth. I've never seen them give a grimace, you know, about something or somebody and say that was not nice, or, you know, that was, they're afraid, like with the car going to hit another car. They didn't do that. You know what they did? Always in divine order. They're relaxed and at peace. It's not their problem, but it's in their vision, so they take control and say all is in divine order, and all is in divine order. Does that make any sense? We all have that privilege. We all have that privilege to go through life and say everything is in divine order. We all have the privilege to go through life and give our very best for nothing. Because we cannot give less. If you wash a window, are you going to give it your best, or are you going to give it your mediocre? Well, it depends on what we want to do with it. You know? What are you going to do? Are you going to give it your best? I've had people wash my car, licking a promise, and it was terrible. And I get out, and I gently wash my car without any anxiety or any speed, and little by little, it just all shines up like a whistle, and it's beautiful. And then I do the inside of the windows and the outside, which hasn't been done recently, but it's wonderful. It's just wonderful. It looks so perfect. I am proud to be in it, and I'm proud to say, that's my car. Do you each have pride in saying whatever you are doing, that's your work, that's your car, that's your activity, that's what you're doing? Some say, boy, you got a dirty car. I know the lady on campus is supposed to clean it, didn't get around to it, you know. Boy, you sure are dripping oil. Yeah, the mechanic made a mistake. That's silly. The lady on campus doesn't wash your car, and the mechanic doesn't make a mistake. You didn't sit on it until it was done right. You didn't sit on the lady until she did her job right. Or, if she didn't do it right, you went in there and polished the car yourself. Or, if the mechanic didn't do it right, you went in there and repaired it yourself. Or repair a car, well, it takes a lot of work to do. It takes nothing. It takes nothing. If you want to repair anything, give it to an innocent person. Give it to her, I don't mean your golf carts, but I mean, whatever you want to pair, give it to an innocent person. Anita went in there, she didn't have any idea what she was doing, and she found out all the things that had to be taken care of. So now she's ready to take care of them, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And you're going to take it down to Cottonwood, right?
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's good. Have you called?
Not this afternoon. Because...
Well, that's too bad. But anyhow, what price is it for our best? And this is something we must always ask ourselves from time to time. Whether we can be bought, like the woman, the man approached and said, let's have sex. And she said, what? She said, well, I'll give you $5. What? I'll give you 20. What? I'll give you 100. Yeah. I'll give you 1,000. Yeah. I'll give you 1,000,000. Okay, when? See, whatever price. Now, that sounds terrible, doesn't it? But it's not really terrible, because all of us sell ourselves for the highest bidder. And the highest bidder should be ourself. We should be the highest bidder to pay ourselves for whatever we do. You follow me? Because really, we're doing it for ourselves, me, right? We're doing it for ourselves. And that's what it's all about. I love you.